The latest news and analysis is brought to you every Monday to Thursday. In the Israel Update with Anthony Rutt, only on Chai FM.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov. Good, thank you, Howard. How are you guys doing today?
Yes, excellent, thank you. Just going straight into the issues, because our first conversation is very, very perplexing. Apparently there's a Syrian flag flying outside the Knesset in Jerusalem. What is going on, Anthony?
Well, this is a very strange thing that Jerusalem residents have woken up to, and it has perplexed many people. But really, I mean, it's not as bad as we think it is, or as serious as we think it is. It's all related to the 9th Jerusalem Marathon that's going to be taking place tomorrow. And apparently there are participants from 80 countries who will be in taking part in the event, something like 35,000 runners will be taking part in their various events, the full marathon, the half marathon, the 10K event. And the Jerusalem municipality has decided to place flags of all 80 countries from where participants will be coming to run in the event. And apparently there is a single Syrian runner, Hassan Shishakli, who will be taking part in the event tomorrow. And in honor of his participation, the Syrian flag has been put up along the route of the run tomorrow. So we're not quite sure whether Shishakli actually will be running or not. He has entered the event. He's a professional runner who's based in the Netherlands and also shares his time with the United Arab Emirates as part of his training program. And we are told by the race organizers that he has yet to pick up his kit for the event. That was as of yesterday. So there is some concern as to whether he actually will turn up or not, but he certainly registered for the event along with the other runners. We hope that the weather will hold out. It's raining at the moment and quite wet, and there is some doubt about the weather for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But certainly the Jerusalem Marathon is a big event. And, of course, the flags of all participants will be along the streets of Jerusalem tomorrow. So, it's good to start with something which is very positive. And we certainly hope that Syrian runner will be there and will put up a good time tomorrow. We certainly hope so.
All right. And I'm going to put out a challenge to any of these South Africans running to find the flag and take a photo and send it to me.
And also to find the South African flag.
Yes, that's what I mean. To find the South African flag, because if you're saying that all the participants, there's a flag for every country, well, let's find the South African flag and let's see some photos of that.
And there are quite a number of South African.
Yes, tremendous amount.
Good luck to all of them.
Yeah, in fact, I was meant to be one of them, but I couldn't go in the end. But a lot of people have gone to run that, and I think it sounds like an absolutely incredible experience.
Howard, if you were supposed to be one of them, you know that number 10 is next year, so we might hold you to that.
Well, I hope so. I certainly do. No, I had booked. I certainly registered. There's a ticket with my a license with my name on it. Anyway, so if you do know anybody running, and if you're going to be chatting to them, or if you're listening in from Israel as one of the runners, find the South African flag and send it through to us, 34519 or 0618951019. A Hezbollah network has now been discovered in the Syrian Golan Heights. Tell us about this.
Well, so another Syrian story, and there are a number of Syrian stories coming out of the news this morning, not only that runner and the flag in Jerusalem, but we understand from recent information that's been released is that Hezbollah apparently is expanding its network into the Golan Heights, the Syrian-held Golan Heights. And this apparently is without the knowledge of Syrian President Assad. He apparently is busier, we understand, in the north. And while he's busy in the north, the Hezbollah network seems to be expanding within the Golan Heights. And this has been released by the IDF. This is information that comes from Israeli intelligence, which is quite worrying, because up until now, Hezbollah has really limited its activities, at least its activities against Israel, to operating out of Lebanon. And if we understand, as we do from the IDF security and intelligence, that the Hezbollah network has expanded into Syria now, this this is really a new piece of information which creates a new threat to Israel from within Syria. We know that up until now, we've been concerned about Syrian forces operating out of Syria against Israel. And of course, we know that Iran has also established itself some bases within that southern Syrian area. Now, you know, when the IDF intelligence says it's being done without President Assad's knowledge, the assumption is that President Assad may oppose this. And I'm not sure that that would be the case. I would just wonder whether, you know, Assad might not support this because, you know, we've got this whole link now between Iran supporting Syria, Iran supporting Hezbollah, Iran supporting Hamas in Gaza as well. So Iran seems to be the common thread here. And even though we do know that Hezbollah has been fighting in that border area between Lebanon and Syria against some of those Syrian forces, not the Syrian government forces, but Syrian forces, the anti-government forces that have been operating there. The understanding that we have is that Hezbollah and the Syrian government actually probably would cooperate with each other, have been cooperating certainly on the battlefield, and that, you know, it would surprise me if Assad would necessarily oppose the idea of Hezbollah being stationed in that southern Golan area. Or that southern Syrian area in the Golan Heights, the Syrian Golan Heights. Having said that, we do know that Hezbollah has been a challenge to the Lebanese government in Lebanon, and one wonders whether Assad, now that he's finally got his forces to take over that southern Syrian area after 7 years of fighting, whether he might view Hezbollah to be something of a threat to his government if they set up a very strong command there. At the moment, we understand that there are some dozens of Hezbollah operatives in that southern Syrian area, including the head of the Golan operations, who apparently is an individual who sat in jail in Iraq for a while, in an American jail in Iraq, after he murdered some American soldiers during the battles there. So we already know who the individuals are who are leading the forces, the Hezbollah forces. And of course, this is makes very, very interesting reading. There are those people who feel that this is electioneering, that this is the government releasing information into the public domain to somehow scaremonger people to supporting Prime Minister Netanyahu in the upcoming election. Of course, everything that happens in Israel these days has a bearing on the elections, and I'm, I have no doubt that this will also potentially influence people to think in a certain way about the upcoming elections. Interesting.
Yeah, Anthony, isn't it absolutely possible? You know, if we think back, we do know that when Russia got involved, they made it very, very clear that the southern part of Syria, certainly close to Israel borders, would not be a place that would be a threat to Israel. And we know that, in fact, you and I spoke about that quite a few months ago. Surely the fact that they're there would mean that because Syria and because Assad gets such a tremendous amount of support from Russia, that he would absolutely have to deny having any knowledge of it. Otherwise, it would affect his relationship with Russia.
Well, at the moment, this the fact that Assad has no knowledge of this is not a denial that he's put up. I mean, we haven't even heard from the Syrian government on this issue. This is information that the Israeli intelligence is feeding us to say that this is all being done without Assad's knowledge. So I don't know what Assad would say to this, and Assad really hasn't come out saying very much at all. We haven't heard much from him at all in recent times. And so it would surprise me if he would make a comment about this at all. So this information that Assad doesn't know about it is really coming from our own intelligence forces, the intelligence sources who are saying that Assad is so busy trying to get the north of Syria taken care of, having finally taken care of the southern Syrian area, got his forces in charge of that area after years and years of fighting, that he's now taking care of the north. And while he's in the north, as we know, things are happening in the south that might not necessarily be to his liking. Although, you know, once again, I'm not sure that he would necessarily oppose this.
Very interesting indeed. A Jerusalem court has ordered that a Jewish family must vacate a disputed house in Hebron. Tell us about this this case.
This is really a twisted battle. It's a land ownership battle in Hebron, and of course, it has huge political implications because You know, there is a lot of focus on the Jewish presence in Hebron, and there's a lot of focus on whether that's a legal presence and whether the people who live there have the right to the homes that they live there, that they live in over there. And this is a house in Tel Rameda area of Hebron that has been in dispute for over 18 years, has involved 14 years of multiple court cases. Ultimately, the Jerusalem Magistrates Court ordered the evacuation of three Jewish families who are now living in that home, in that particular building, which has been such a disputed building. And so it seems as if though they, within 45 days, will be required to vacate that unless there is a further court ruling to the contrary. But this is a battle that's really persisted over the years between a family, the Bakri family, right, who claimed to have ownership, a Palestinian family claimed to have ownership of this land, of this particular home, and a company called Tal Lebniya. They claimed that they actually bought this home from the Bakri family, that the Bakri family actually willingly vacated the home, and that these three Jewish families have now occupied the home as a result of the fact that this company managed to buy it. The Bakris have opposed that. They've challenged that particular position. And finally, they actually won in the court ruling that was handed down late on Wednesday. And it seems as if finally now that particular issue has come to rest, unless, of course, the company Tal Lebniya is going to decide to take this up further through the courts. This is a magistrate's court ruling in the meantime, and I don't know whether the company has the right to take it on appeal, but this is something which I think is going to probably persist, and I doubt very much whether the Jewish families will simply take this lying down and say that's okay, because the court has ordered them not only to vacate the home, but in fact has ordered the company to pay 570,000 shekels to the Bakri family, as well as another 70,000 shekels in legal fees. So this is not only an order to evacuate the property. This is an order with damages and with punitive damages, with legal fees also having been included. So it seems as if the court's ruling was very, very, specific, and it seems as if though the idea that this could be a Jewish owned home is really being put out of the window at the moment. We will see how this one progresses, but obviously this one really gets thrown into the political domain with a lot of accusations saying this is evidence of Jewish presence in Hebron illegally, against international law, against Israeli law, because the Israeli courts have ruled on this particular one. So this is really going to throw the cat amongst the pigeons and may well bring into doubt a lot of other properties that are owned in Hebron, where families might now use this particular ruling to challenge the ownership. We will see how that goes forward, but certainly in the days leading up to the election, that's a very, very interesting court ruling indeed, and one that has come as a little bit of a surprise to a lot of people who believe in, you know, the Jewish presence in Hebron and, of course, the legal ownership of properties there that Jewish families live in.
So I mean, this is confusing a number of issues because it's political, it's nationalistic and commercial. It's all really thrown into the whole mix here, isn't it?
So I think the court has really taken a very, a very legal view on this. In other words, the ownership documents have to be presented, and it's really just taken to try to put all politics to one side and just really rule on the matters that were presented in the case. And it seems as if the Bakri family in this particular case have succeeded in convincing the court that the legal ownership of that particular property is theirs. And, you know, I'm not exactly sure of what the deal was that was done between Tal Lebniya and the Bakri family. Obviously, there was something that happened which allowed those families to move in, to live in that home. And it's not exactly clear how it came about that the home was actually vacated. But be that as it may, the court has now decided on this. Of course, the home, you know, is in a very strategic location in Hebron, near to Ruth's tomb, near to a military base that's located in Hebron. And of course, in Hebron, we have the cave of the patriarchs, which is a very politically sensitive location. And Jews who feel that, you know, Jewish presence in Hebron really needs to be strengthened following, you know, years of confusion and years of conflict within the Hebron area. We can't forget the various massacres that have taken place in Hebron, both within the caves of the patriarchs and indeed outside of the cave itself, on both sides of the fence. So Hebron very, very much disputed, and you know, unfortunately, that dispute seems not to have ended with this particular case.
And San saying, surely this demonstrates democracy. Well, it certainly does demonstrate an independent judiciary, which is absolutely vital. It is 8 o'clock, Anthony Rock. That is where we love and leave you. I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a fantastic weekend, and we will catch up with you on Monday morning.
I look forward to it. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom to all of you, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Anthony. It is 8 o'clock.